In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear faithful, since the luminous night of Easter, the Paschal candle, the symbol of Jesus' risen, shines in the sanctuary of the Church. Its flame has been transmitted to the soul of every baptized person. During 40 days, the apostles have been in touch with the mystery of the timeless presence of Jesus, but they do not understand yet that the kingdom of God must start inside themselves in order to be realized through eternity. 40 days between Easter and Ascension, 40 special days for the apostles. Jesus risen from the dead uses those 40 days to kindle faith in the souls of his apostles. What he tells them is a bit mysterious. It is a strange mix of absence and presence. I'm here, but I'm not here. It's a mix of absence and presence, of secrets, of teachings, and of questions. Jesus leads them from the cross to faith, from earth to heaven, from the natural virtue of trust to the supernatural virtue of faith. Because he has to go, he prepared those who saw him in the glory of the resurrection to purify their faith. It has not been easy for the apostles. They saw him, but they did not understand. It was not easy for Jesus either. He was talking to men who were his friends, who were close to him, but who did not understand, but who did not know him, who did not recognize him. The reason was that after the resurrection, Jesus was not to be recognized only on the basis of the witness of his human presence. He also wants the consent of mind and faith. Jesus does not only want to be seen, he wants to be believed. He makes himself visible so that we can believe in the invisible. By the way, making visible the invisible will be the main function of the liturgy. Jesus is preparing what is going to follow. He's going to leave. And he tells them about it. His departure will not result in an absence, but in a new kind of presence. This atmosphere, mixed of joy and sorrow, knowing that Jesus is leaving. So this atmosphere must be understood in a joyful faith. Yes, Jesus is risen, and at the same time, it is mysterious. It is amazing for the apostles as well. Jesus is so expected that he is not recognized. All this does not happen just by chance. Jesus makes himself visible to kindle faith, but at the same time, he is absent. At the same time, he's going to leave. He's on earth, but he no longer belongs to earth. He's in fact completing his teaching as the risen Christ. he's finishing to institute his sacraments. He's finishing to found his church. He gives himself 40 days to move his disciples from earthly companionship to the way of faith. And we know that they will all agree to die for him. But they will need Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Ghost to admit it in faith. So there were good men, but pretty slow to understand. So I think we should not be surprised or ashamed if sometimes we need time to understand God's plan in our lives. Because we don't have, obviously, their chance to talk to God as they did. They need Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit to admit it in faith. Easter morning has been a day of triumph and of glory. But this triumph is humble. From the beginning, the good news of the resurrection is transmitted only through witness. Those first witnesses are invested with a mission. They must tell the others, "Go to your brothers," Jesus tells them. From now, the message will be announced in that way. Through the recognition of faith and through the conviction of witnesses. And in this way, it has been going on for 2,000 years. The font of all is a burning love of Jesus' heart, pierced by the spear. Jesus wants witnesses because he wants to associate us to his saving work. If he had not done that, we would be unable to understand the meaning of human life. Jesus' love for us, Jesus' love for the world, is a burning love. So the Paschal candle reminds us of that mysterious reality. It's a duty of the witness to transmit. So we must transmit what we have received. We must never forget that we move the world forward only if we ourselves move forward. Jesus will be loved if we ourselves love him. But this morning I would like to go a little more deeply. And I would like to know why there are so many empty seats in our church at each masses on Sunday morning. It was built big because it was supposed to, all the pews were supposed to be packed. So I think the reason why many people and many of us do not live faith overflowing with joy is because we are not accustomed to look at Jesus full of joy. We do not picture him smiling and lovingly affirming us and others. We don't see him most of the time with a communicable happiness that could get St. Peter, St. James, St. John, St. Andrew to leave their boats immediately, to entice St. Matthew from his tax tables without hesitation, to have vast crowds come to listen to him for hours. The one who showed us how to receive God's gift of joy to its fullness and let our whole lives develop in accordance with it is Mary. Mary that we will celebrate in a special way during the month of Mary, of May, sorry, the month of Mary. The first words of the angel to her in the Annunciation were, "Rejoice." And guess what? Mary rejoiced. She rejoiced in the Lord always, seeing that this was God's will for her. The Virgin Mary, full of grace, manifested her joy before her cousin Elizabeth, who celebrates her faith. She has grasped better than all other creatures that God accomplishes wonderful things. His name is holy. He shows his mercy. He raises up the humble. He is faithful to his promises. Not that the apparent course of Mary's life in any way departs from the ordinary, but she meditates on the least signs of God, pondering them in her heart. We have to learn to see the signs of God in our lives. Not that she is in any way spared suffering. She stands, the mother of sorrows. She stands at the foot of the cross when they all left. She associated in an eminent way with the sacrifice of Jesus. She's also open in an unlimited degree to the joy of the resurrection. And she's also taken up, body and soul, into the glory of heaven. With Jesus, she sums up in herself all joys. She lives the perfect joy promised to the church. And it is with good reason that we on earth, turning to her who is our mother, the mother of hope and of grace, we invoke her as a cause of our joy. So this morning we turn to her as we celebrate this Mass, asking her to intercede for us that we may receive her Son's gift of Easter joy, and let it transform us so that our existence may, like hers, become a Magnificat. Today, as we prepare to receive the Blessed Sacrament, let us ask her help so that we may hear Jesus said to us both, I have come so that my own joy may be in you and your joy will be complete, as well as I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. This is our faith. Dear friends, this is the faith of the Catholic Church. So let us rejoice in it with Mary and all the saints. If we happen to be discouraged by life, it happens. If we happen to be discouraged by life, come back to the source and ask yourself this question: I am really a witness of the resurrection. From the answer to that question, we will be suddenly reminded that only Christ can fill our heart. The world absolutely needs to hear, "Do not you miss the love of God." Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.